Today's Bible reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, and Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 to 14. Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 18. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. And Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 to 14. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there will be future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off.
Well, keep your Bibles there. We're going to flick through quite a few Proverbs this morning. Good morning. My name's Gavin. I'm a long-time listener, first-time preacher. And it's my pleasure to open up God's Word this morning about the topic of pleasure. Actually, ironically, I couldn't think of many things less pleasurable than public speaking, but here I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to focus now on what you have to say through the ancient wisdom of Proverbs. Help us to see the wisdom in living your way, not ours. And please change our hearts to respond to your word in humility and in confidence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I sat down last Saturday night after raiding the fridge and finding some of Oriole's lollies, as I often do. And as I ate her gummy bears, I realised I couldn't taste them. I had to try a few more just to be sure, so I finished off the packet. But my suspicions were confirmed. I had no taste. I suspected this was coming. I'd had COVID that week. I'm all fine now, don't worry. And I'd already started to lose my sense of smell. Has anyone else experienced this? You have, Rowan. Talk to me later, mate. It's doing my head in. It really is a surreal and disturbing experience. But there's a lesson to be learned. You see, humans are geared towards pleasure. We don't eat food just for its function. We like to enjoy the aesthetics of food, its taste, its smell, and its texture. And if you take that away, we feel deprived and unsatisfied. This is no surprise. God is a God of pleasure and goodness, and we are created in his image. In the beginning, according to Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. He created light, and he saw that it was good. He created land and sea, and he saw that it was good. He created vegetation of all kinds and saw that it was good. He created the sun, the moon, and stars and saw that they were all good. He created living creatures and saw that they were good. And he created humans to live amongst this good creation. Genesis 1 ends with God's summation of all his creative work as being very good. God has created a world that is full of pleasures, and he has placed us in his creation. It follows then that he intends for us to experience pleasure. But the question is, where and how is real pleasure found? If we are designed to experience pleasure, what is it that we are to find pleasure in? During our time this morning, we'll be looking at three ways to find pleasure: pleasure without God, pleasure under God, and pleasure in God. Well, we've parked ourselves in the book of Proverbs this term, and we've already looked at what Proverbs says about work and wealth. Today we'll see that true pleasure, lasting pleasure, real pleasure, comes from knowing and fearing the Creator. We are designed for pleasure, but unless those pleasures are enjoyed within the fear of the Lord, we actually become slaves to our pursuit of pleasure, and we'll miss the ultimate pleasure of knowing Jesus. I said before that humans are geared towards pleasure. But our culture is actually obsessed with pleasure, and possibly now more than ever before. David Williams, in his set of 2018 articles, writes about the shift in Western culture from a guilt-innocence worldview to a pleasure-pain worldview. Or in other words, a shift from right and wrong towards emotional satisfaction and personal belief as a measure of social acceptability. We are making decisions as a society based on what makes us feel good. You may have seen an article in the Herald earlier this month which illustrates this. It claimed that snack production company Mondelez International predicted that 2022 will be their most profitable year in Australia. What do Mondelez International make? Well, they own Cadbury's, Oreos, Toblerone, the Natural Confectionery Company, probably gummy bears among other products. So in a year when cost of living pressures are reaching new heights and economic outlooks are grim, Australians spend more on junk food. That's a decision based not on health or economics or social or environmental factors, but on pleasure. Of course, marketing and social media influencers and the relentless parading of pleasurable experiences or products, they drive our culture's obsession with pleasure, whether it's the pursuit of that perfect holiday or that dream car or the bathroom renovation or perhaps gaining popularity or success or escaping the drudgery of life by breaking the shackles. Pleasure is the subtext of so many aspects of our culture. So the first place we could look for pleasure is by giving in to this cultural pressure and chasing pleasure without God. Proverbs has a lot to say about this. At the heart of Proverbs is wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7, is the fear of the Lord. So pleasure without God is pleasure that we seek which does not fear the Lord, seeking pleasure on our own terms as we see fit and foolishly denying God in the process. Proverbs warns against this consistently. Let's look at five different roads to pleasure, which Proverbs actually describes as dead ends. Roads which might have some nice houses along the way, but actually lead nowhere, or worse. The first and most striking dead end is seeking out sexual pleasure outside of marriage. Have a look at Proverbs 5 from verse 3, where sexual pleasure outside of marriage is personified in an adulterous woman. It says, "For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave." And again in Proverbs 7 from verse 21, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose." Such graphic warnings laid out here because the author, Solomon, knows the absolute dangers of pursuing or succumbing to sexual pleasure. He knows the strength of sexual desire. And just as an aside, there is certainly an adulterous male equivalent to this picture, perhaps not seductive, but rather demanding of sexual fulfillment. Now, this whole area is turbocharged in our progressive pleasure-pain culture. The satisfying of one's sexual desires, finding pleasure and satisfaction in sexuality, and sexual identity has become a consuming socio-political movement. Our social landscape and vocabulary is ever-evolving as the complexities of human desire spill out into the public realm. The desire for sexual pleasure is real, of course. It's a biological fact that many people have a strong desire for sexual pleasure. The question Proverbs wants us to ask is, however, is the fulfillment or otherwise of your sexual desires in keeping with the fear of the Lord? Are you using your body to honour Christ as Paul exhorts us to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Or are you pursuing pleasure in ways that go against the wisdom of God and his good creation? That's the first dead end. Another pleasure dead end that Proverbs warns against is gluttony. 25 verse 16 warns, if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit. The sluggard in 26 verse 15 buries his hand in the dish, but it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. It's a fantastic image of the culmination of a lifetime of gluttony and self-absorption. Proverbs 23 verse 20 to 21 warns us, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. In our prosperous society, it's a real danger for us to become gluttons, isn't it? Maybe in small, subtle ways, but I do think we need to be careful about leaning on food and alcohol and technology as go-tos for pleasure. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And Paul goes on to mention self-control as one of the fruits of the Spirit in 5 verse 23. Self-control would be the antidote to gluttony. A third dead end is taking pleasure in wealth. There's plenty of proverbs about this one, but 23 verse 5 is particularly poetic. It says, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Brad spoke about wealth and wisdom last week, so I won't repeat that, but certainly go back and have a listen if you missed it. Do you take pleasure in popularity or accomplishments and success? This is pleasure dead end number four. Proverbs 29:23 reminds us that pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honour. Do you crave that recognition and get a buzz when you're acknowledged? I think we all do, because it comes from a deep desire to be known and loved. But just check yourself and your motives for doing things. Do you serve or help others for the pleasure of loving them? Or do you find yourself doing things for the pleasure of popularity and recognition? And the last dead end I'll mention is finding pleasure in accumulating stuff, materialism. There's nothing wrong with owning things, but Proverbs 13 verse 8 keeps us in check. It says, a man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man, he is no threat. I really love this proverb. The more stuff I accumulate, the more captive I am to it. The more consumeristic I become, the more I have to consume. Again, this is a real danger in our world of constant product upgrades and new gadgets. Do you buy things because you really need it? Or is it the thrill and pleasure you get from owning the latest model that drives your choices here? Proverbs tells us that none of these pleasures actually satisfy, which is why pleasure without God at its center is not actually pleasure at all. It's a fix that does not last long and brings about trouble and hurt for you and others. And because it's so fleeting, it traps us and enslaves us and makes us keep coming back and wanting more. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it, says Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19. Sinning in order to find pleasure makes a mockery of the Creator. It takes beautiful things like sex or technology, food, wine, and twists them in order to fulfill what we think will give us more pleasure than God can provide, as if we know God's creation better than he does. So, what about all these good things we're surrounded by? Are we not meant to enjoy them? Does being a Christian mean the end of enjoyment and pleasure? Well, as I read through Proverbs, it seems that the problem is not with the things themselves. Remember that everything God created was good. Wealth, food, sex, success, craft beer, honey, not bad things at all. Quite the opposite. There is inherent profound goodness in all of God's creation. The problem in Proverbs is always our heart. The problem is that we pursue good things without fearing the Lord. We pursue pleasurable things despite the devastating consequences it can have. And this brings us to our second category of pleasure, pleasure under God. Unlike the pleasure dead ends, Proverbs shows us paths that actually do lead to meaningful pleasure. Let's look at three different paths to pleasure that Proverbs sets out. The first path comes from Proverbs 5, that's the one about the adulterous woman, which continues on from verse 15. It says, "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." There's no question here that sexual pleasure isn't good. It is talking about sex, not water. In fact, it's at its best when it's in the context of marriage, within the framework of God's good and pleasurable design. Moving on to our next path to pleasure. Throughout Proverbs, the author gives snapshots of the pleasures to be found in other relationships. Friends, children, parents, work relationships. Have a listen to these. Could jot them down or try to keep up. 10 verse 17, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." 14 verse 35, "A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wrath." 27 verse 9, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel." Just be careful with your neighbours, however. Proverbs 27:14, write this one down. It warns us that if a man loudly blesses his neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. It's one of the many quirky little proverbs. A third path to pleasure, which Proverbs paves, is the pleasures found in generally being kind and loving to one another, and not just for the person on the receiving end, but for the one who is being kind. Check out these beautiful Proverbs. 11 verse 25 says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." 12 verse 14, "From the fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him." 15 verse 23, "A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word." And 15 verse 30, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones." Now, I just want to make 4 points about these paths to pleasure. Firstly, you might have noticed that they are all outward sources of pleasure. That is, pleasure is found as we outwardly love others. Generosity, wise counsel to a friend, sexual devotion to your spouse, obedience to your parents, these things are all external, outward actions, right? And that's a huge contrast to those inward pleasures we looked at before, which were all about self-satisfaction. You know, while I was preparing this talk, I actually thought I would find Proverbs that said something like, "A well-tended garden is of great pleasure to all who dwell in it," or "Good food and wine is a delight to the hearts of men," or "Music feeds the soul with joy and satisfaction." But do you know what? They don't exist. I made those ones up. Proverbs doesn't promote self-serving pleasure. It really only lays out the pleasure we find in relating to others as we fear the Lord. Now, why is that? Well, I presume it's not because there is anything wrong with gardening or nice food and wine or music. Quite the contrary, actually. Remember, those things are all part of God's good creation. Christians aren't, and certainly shouldn't be, killjoys with this stuff, but we should deeply enjoy the richness of God's creation with thankfulness. It's not just the spectacular coffee you take pleasure in. It's the God who created the coffee tree and equipped everyone with the skills required to provide that coffee. It's not just that perfectly restored motorbike you take pleasure in. It's in the God who allowed such a thing to be conceived. Whatever it is you find pleasure in, enjoy it and praise God for it. But why doesn't Proverbs mention pleasure in this kind of way? Well, it's because Proverbs knows that deeper joy, more satisfying pleasure, comes as we do life together, trusting and obeying our Heavenly Father. It's a really important thing to remember. When our culture promotes pleasure as self-actualization, self-gratification, and the you-do-you movement, Christians know and always have known that life is best lived out together in relationships that honour God. The second point I wanted to make comes from Proverbs 14, verse 13, which says, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief." Proverbs knows that pleasure in all of these things is good but fleeting. As we live in genuine, honouring relationships, there will be joy and satisfaction, but because of sin and brokenness, there will also be heartache and pain. It's really good to know that this is a reality of life before Jesus returns and to simply persevere. Third point I wanted to make about finding pleasures in life under God is that Proverbs actually doesn't call us to pursue pleasure, not even good pleasures. 21 verse 17 says, "Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich." Proverbs calls us to fear the Lord. It tells us that pleasure flows out of a wise life, lived in obedience to God. As a Christian, pleasure is something that comes as a result of living God's way. As we love others with generosity, kindness, honesty, and humility, Proverbs says there are rich blessings that flow. But it never starts with us pursuing pleasure. And the last point I'll make is to bring your attention to another pleasure pain story. I want you to consider someone who enjoyed infinite and absolute pleasure. Pleasure without grief and pleasure that was unending. Jesus, who lived in perfect, joyous communion with his Father. Ultimate, perfect pleasure. And I want you to consider that Jesus not only gave this up by coming to earth, but he suffered the physical, emotional, and infinite spiritual pain of the cross for you and I. Jesus didn't pursue pleasure and avoid pain. He pursued us, despite the pain. He pursued us and dealt with our sin, and in so doing, offers forgiveness and reconciliation with God for all eternity. This brings me to the final way we can find pleasure. Quick question. As you read through Proverbs, what do you think is the overwhelming source of pleasure? Anyone? Wisdom. I think I heard someone mutter wisdom under their breath. Wisdom. Let me read from Proverbs 3 again, which we heard earlier on from verse 13. "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." How about Proverbs 16, verse 16? "How much better to gain wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver." Or 24, verse 13 to 14. "Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Just remember that Proverbs was mostly written by Solomon, a man who had access to all the pleasures under the sun. And his very clear verdict is that lasting, true, absolute pleasure is found in wisdom. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's think this one through. Remember Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So pleasure is found in wisdom, and wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. Then it follows that pleasure must be found in fearing the Lord. In other words, Proverbs brings us to the idea that true, lasting pleasure is found in fearing God, or more specifically, in knowing God and worshipping Him. Pleasure in God. In a time when we are bombarded with content telling us what pleasure should look like in our lives and pressuring us to succumb, it's so refreshing to have Proverbs reshape our perceptions of pleasure and point us to a source of true, lasting pleasure, God. Do you believe this? Do you experience this? If you're anything like me, you struggle to grasp this consistently, possibly because we're so distracted by other sources of pleasure that we feel we are missing out on. Can I encourage you, friends, that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then you are not, and you certainly will not, be shortchanged for pleasure. You may not go on that luxury holiday. You may not go to that 6.5-hatted restaurant. You may not find sexual satisfaction. You may not find pleasure in work or in your garden or in your achievements. But you can take pleasure in the gospel and in God Himself. He is enough to satisfy our souls. Distraction and fear of missing out is a problem, but more likely, the problem for us is that we have too small a grasp on how pleasurable the gospel actually is, and we underappreciate how good it is to have a relationship with the all-powerful, all-knowing, and omnipresent God of the universe. John Piper writes about this at length through his Desiring God platforms. One point he makes is that humans actually find pleasure when they admire someone or something, and so God then needs to be the ultimate source of your admiration. Piper says, "We love to admire sports figures and music figures and acting figures and admire beauty and admire sunsets and sunrises and mountains and rivers. We are admiring creatures to our core, and I think we are wired to admire the most admirable. And the most admirable is God." So, remind yourself and each other of how awesome Jesus is, how beautiful, how loving, and how unbelievably admirable He really is. Has there ever been a more admirable person? Certainly not. Take pleasure in reading about Him in God's Word, not as a duty, but as a wonderful pleasure and a satisfaction. Remind yourself that we don't read the Bible as an obligation to tick off boxes, but we read the Bible to grow in our admiration of Jesus and therefore our pleasure in Him. Proverbs talks about fools a lot, and I can certainly relate to that. I've actually written a few more Proverbs about fools, which I'll share with you. "He is a fool who finds more pleasure in solving the daily wordle in three guesses than in waking up each day and knowing that Jesus reigns and rules for me and has defeated death so that I can look forward to eternal life with Him." Actually, it took me 5 goes this morning. "He is a fool who finds more pleasure in a bottle of wine than in the one who is so powerful that he turned water into wine. He is a fool who takes more pleasure in memorizing Steve Waugh's batting statistics than he does in learning the words of Jesus, the Son of God, who spoke truth and wisdom so profound that all who heard Him were compelled to follow. He is a fool who takes more pleasure in a fleeting moment of his insignificant success than he does in knowing Jesus supremely succeeded in conquering death for all eternity." Moses certainly wasn't a fool, as we read from Hebrews 11. Let me read it again. "By faith," from verse 24, "Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And his reward, like for you and I, if you trust in Jesus, is eternity in ultimate absolute pleasurable existence with the creator and sustainer of the universe. Well, as I look ahead to another week deprived of my taste buds, I'm reminded of how good God's creation is, and I long to experience the richness of it in the form of a cinnamon donut. And Proverbs reminds us that you don't need taste buds to be satisfied. Proverbs points us to the goodness of life lived in the fear of the Lord, as we love others with generosity, humility, and kindness. And Proverbs ultimately reveals that of greatest pleasure is intimately knowing God, the Father, through His Son, Jesus. Can I encourage you to enjoy Jesus? Take pleasure in His mercy towards you. Take pleasure in the promise of eternity with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please convince us that true and lasting pleasure comes from You and in knowing Jesus. Shift our hearts away from fleeting pleasures and fix our hearts on the beauty of the gospel. Thank You for the goodness and pleasure that flows out of life lived in obedience to You. We pray that this pleasure would satisfy us and fill us with hope of joyous eternity with You. In Jesus' name, amen.